الحمد لله رب العالمين، اللهم صل وسلم وبارك على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه ومن تبعهم بإحسان إلى يوم الدين وسلم تسليما كثيرا. أما بعد، all praise is due to Allah and we ask Allah to exalt the mention and grant peace to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and to grant his companions peace and all those who follow them on their righteous path until the day of judgment. We pick up where we left off in the book of Al-Aqidah Al-Wasitiyah, keeping in mind that we missed last week's class for valid reasons. Nonetheless, that doesn't prevent us inshallah from continuing, asking Allah to grant us success in understanding of the deen. We were dealing with the fact that we should feel grateful and receive a form of good news or glad tidings if we find in ourselves the inclination towards righteousness, goodness, and all sorts of praiseworthy characteristics. And that is an indication that Allah Azza wa Jal is facilitating our affairs so that we may be among the people of the right, the people of paradise, those who have been preordained or it has been pre-decreed that they will be among the happy and blissful individuals in the life to come. Now, we dealt with this one. وسبب نزول هذه الآية أن قريشا قالت إن هذا القرآن الذي يأتي به محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم ليس من عند ربه وإنما هو من شخص يعلمه ويقص عليه من قصص الأولين ويأتي ليقول لنا هذا من عند الله أعوذ بالله. The Sheikh says the reason why this ayah was revealed, the ayah وَلَقَدْ نَعْلَمُ أَنَّهُمْ يَقُولُونَ إِنَّمَا يُعَلِّمُهُ بَشَرٌ. And verily we know that they say that he is being taught by a human being, that it is not revelation from Allah. This ayah was revealed because a group among the Qurayshis used to say, this Quran which Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, we're saying sallallahu alaihi wasallam, they didn't say that, which Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam is bringing to us is not from his Lord. Rather, it is from a person who teaches him and he narrates unto him the stories of the previous nations. And then he comes to us and he says, this is from Allah. And the Shaykh said, we seek refuge with Allah from this kind of claim, because this is basically a claim of disbelief, right? ادعوا أنه كلام البشر والعجيب أنهم يدعون أنه كلام البشر ويقال لهم ائتوا بمثله ولا يستطيعون. They say, they claim, they allege that this is the speech of humans. And the amazing things is while they claim that this is the speech of humans, they are being invited in turn to produce something like it and they're unable to do so. Okay? That's like seeing someone, doing a trick, a basketball trick. And you say, oh, come on, this is, anyone can do this. Anyone can do this. Say, okay, here, do it. Well, I can't. Well, bring your friends who can do it. Well, not really. Well, okay then, why are you saying that anyone can do it if you don't know anyone that can do it, right? Either you can do it or you know someone that can do it, or you don't say to someone, oh, anyone can do this. Maybe that person you're speaking to is the only one who can do this trick. So this kind of nonsense that they brought about, oh, this is the speech of a human being, fine, you are the poets, you are the eloquent, you are the well-versed in the language, come on, produce a chapter like the Quran. And we said the smallest chapter is what? Surah Al-Kawthar. Surah Al-Kawthar, a line and a half. A line and a half. Three verses, 10 words. Produce a chapter like the Quran. And they were unable to do so. All these years, all the Qurayshis, right? All of them. And those who followed them. Until today, among the Arabs, not a single person have been able to produce a chapter like the Quran. And you really will not know what is intended until you learn Arabic. And not just the Arabic that you're learning with, you know, Dr. Yahya, and the stuff is basic. When you go into the intricacy of the language, I can't even begin to explain, right? And for you to get a glimpse of what I'm saying, I want you to go online and look up Nu'man Ali Khan, a Pakistani brother who is American now. He learned the Arabic language properly, and he does tafsir of Juz'u Amma. You will not believe until you listen. The choice of words, every single word, every single word, the order in which it comes in the sentence. Because sometimes, you know, وَاللَّهُ بِمَا تَعْمَلُونَ خَبِيرٌ وَاللَّهُ خَبِيرٌ بِمَا تَعْمَلُونَ. The sequence of words, even though the meaning in English is going to be the same. One does Allah says تفعلون, and one is he say تعملون, even though if you translate it to English, both mean you do, right? I can go on forever, right? Just it's unbelievable. Then not only that, the relation between the ayat and the Quran. Furthermore, the relation between the chapters. If you see when he picks up, for example, Surah An-Naba, then Surah An-Nazi'at, and he will bring some relations between the context and the discourses in this surah in opposition to this surah. How sometimes they're harmonious and they complement each other, and how sometimes they further explain, and sometimes they wind up explain. It's just unbelievable, right? When you listen to that, then you start saying, "Aha! Now I know." You know, because otherwise one will tell you, what's the big deal if somebody said, إِنَّ أَعْطَيْنَاكَ الْكَوْثَرَ فَصَلِّ لِرَبِّكَ وَانْحَرْ إِنَّ شَنَاكَ هُوَ الْأَبْتَرَ. Well, anyone can write something, you know, along the same lines, make it rhyme, and خلاص. We say, here's the Quran, like the Quran is destroyed. It's not that simple though. It's not that simple. Because, I mean, the word Kawthar itself, in that ayah, in that surah, the word Kawthar, go back to the linguistic references for the term Kawthar. Be it the river, which is, you know, it begins in Jannah, right? And then Kawthar comes from Kathir, Kathra, abundance, abundant, a lot, right? Countless things, you know, everything in that small chapter is amazing. Every single word can have hours of discussion. So that kind of speech no one can produce, right? So that's what you need to keep in mind. So you really get the taste of it. And when you listen to this, you realize that we don't know anything about the Quran. And wallahi, if you listen to this, then you try to read one of these chapters again, or hear it in the salah, you will have a whole nother feeling. I'm an Arab, whom I'm supposed to know this. After I heard him and I heard the same chapter, I was like, whoa, this is unbelievable. It's a whole new feeling that was absent before. Because I haven't come across something like, even in tafsir we're doing, the Shaykh doesn't go there. The Shaykh has another style, which is just dealing with the general meaning of the ayat and try to bring, you know, relation between them and harmony. But he doesn't go, and not that many do, in the tafsir go into every single word and then show you references from other verses and why this word was chosen versus that one. You know, some of the older ulama did that. Unfortunately, many of them, their aqidah was not sound. Their aqidah was not this aqidah. So you find that their works are not very popular, right? They're not very popular among those who follow the aqidah of Al-Sunnah al-Jama'ah. So what he did, he took from them the good things and he mentioned, he said, these people we don't take aqidah from, but we take, you know, their linguistic expertise. And he brought some things that you would not read in Tafsir ibn Kathir, in English, you would not read in Urdu, usually. You would not find it available in the languages which we speak, right? Something really at a high caliber. So listen to Nu'man Ali Khan. You checked him out? You got a taste of the thing? Am I accurate in my exaggeration? I believe so. Right. It's all here. I'll be walking around to work listening to it and walking back. It's like addicting, right?
It's like to look.
Or addictive. Addictive.
Huh?
Bayina.com. Then on Bayina.com there's a tab called podcast or something like that. Then there it will show you the things. Then you have the option of listening live, or it will streaming, or download. You right click, save target as, and save it, and then you'll be able to listen it as MP3.
He has all
Juz'u Amma. all juz'a amma, almost towards the end. He's towards the end right now, I believe Surah Al-Fil or something along these lines. But beginning from juz'a amma, al-nazi'at, abasa, al-infitar, al-takwir, all these are just...
Isn't there other lectures also?
His other lectures is different. This is his field of expertise. This is where he's really...
Allah also, yes, given
there he mentions his characteristics. Yes, yes. So check him out just so you know that I'm not crazy, inshallah. I hope you don't think your teacher is crazy, but that's not a good thing. Anyways, I went off track, and I will be closing this door. Right. So then, produce a chapter the like thereof. ولا يستطيعون, they're unable to do it, and you know why now. وقد أبطل الله افتراءهم هذا بقوله تعالى لسان الذين يلحدون إليه أعجمي. And Allah had previously refuted their statement of theirs by saying in another ayah, the tongue, the language of the one whom they are diverting from the path due to is a foreigner. Ajami really means he lacks eloquence. It's weak language, right? You know, weak language that sentence structure wise, grammatically, and so on and so forth. It's unacceptable, right? Like the language that is spoken here. That's what Allah means by A'jami. The Shaykh said, "Well, A'jami huwa alladhi la yufsih al-kalam." The A'jami is the one who's unable to speak correctly. وَإِنْ كَانَ عَرَبِيًا, even if he's an Arab, it doesn't mean by an A'jami meaning a non-Arab. Whereas A'jami, وَالْعَجَمِي بِدُونِ الْهَمْزَةِ. No, we have two words, A'jami and A'jami. A'jami meaning someone who's not eloquent, whose language is weak, even if he's an Arab. Ajami is someone who is a foreigner, even if he speaks Arabic, meaning he's a non-Arab. Right? Because here, I mean, the language is Arabic, so this is why this distinction is being made. It is not a racist one at all. I'm sure you know that already. فَلِسَانُ هَذَا الَّذِي يُلْحِدُونَ عَلَيْهِ أَعْجَمِيٌ لَا يَفْصَحْ أَوْ لَا يُفْصِحْ بِالْكَلَامِ الْعَرَبِيِّ. The one whom they're claiming the Prophet ﷺ is learning from is not eloquent himself. He doesn't even know how to speak Arabic properly. وَأَمَّا الْقُرْآنِ, as for the Qur'an, فَإِنَّ اللَّهَ قَالَ فِي وَهَذَا لِسَانٌ عَرَبِيٌّ مُبِينٌ. Concerning the Qur'an, Allah said, and this is a clear Arabic tongue, meaning language. بَيِّن فِي نَفْسِهِ مُبِينٌ لِغَيْرِهِ. It is clear in and of itself, and it clarifies things to others. It's clear in and of itself, and it clarifies the matters to others. فَالْقُرْآنُ كَلَامٌ عَرَبِيٌّ وَهُوَ أَفْصَحُ الْكَلَامِ. Then the Qur'an is an Arabic tongue, an Arabic speech, and it is the most eloquent of speech, believe me. كَيْفَ يَأْتِي مِنْ هَذَا الرَّجُلَ عَجَمِيٌّ الَّذِي لَا لِسَانَ لَهُ لَا يَفْصَحُ بِالْكَلَامِ. How can something like that come from a man who himself cannot speak Arabic? It's impossible. That's impossible. That's like a mouse giving birth to an elephant. طيب والشاهد هو قوله والله أعلم بما ينزل. The شاهد from شهادة يشهد, to bear witness. And what it means here, when the ulama say والشاهد, if you read in a book of fiqh or a book of tafsir or so on and so forth, when they say شاهد, meaning from what we have quoted earlier, the point of reference here, the most important point that we are trying to, you know, revolve this whole issue around, is the point of importance. هُوَ قَوْلُهُ وَاللَّهُ أَعْلَمُ بِمَا يُنَزِّلُ. بِمَا يُنَزِّلُ, Allah knows best that which He sends down. وَقَوْلُهُ قُلْ نَزَّلَهُ رُوحُ الْقُدُسِ مِنْ رَبِّكَ. Say, it has been sent down, or it was sent down by the Spirit, which is who? Jibreel عليه الصلاة والسلام. Jibreel, who's free from deviating. He's among the greatest of angels and the closest to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Min Rabbik, from your Lord. And even when you listen to the brother's tafsir, Min Rabbik, and the difference between Min Rabbik and Min Rabbikum and Min Allah, and why in some ayat, you know, it is used in this particular fashion. And how, you know, for example, in Surah Al-Mutaffifin, كلا بران على قلوبهم ما كانوا يكسبون كلا إنهم عن ربهم يومئذ لمحجوبون. ثم انهم لصالوا الجحيم ثم يقال هذا الذي كنتم به تكذبون. Nay, verily it has covered their hearts, the sins which they used to commit. Due to that, verily these people on the day of judgment shall be barricaded from Allah. They shall be veiled from Allah, meaning mahjubun from hijab. They will not be able to see Him, right? Whereas the believers will see Allah, as we will deal in that very soon. The disbelievers will not be able to see Allah. Okay? Now listen to the context. Then it will be said, this is the hellfire in which or concerning which you used to lie. Why? Because Allah had deprived them of seeing Him. Now the verse doesn't say that Allah told them, because this is further deprivation. They were deprived in the reality that they will not see Allah. And even in speech, Allah doesn't tell them. The ayah says, it will be said to them that Allah will not even speak to them. So they were deprived of seeing Allah, deprived of the speech of Allah. This is further belittlement for these people. Now you see, I mean, little things that you may never pay attention to, but the choice of words is all related. You know, these are among the examples of the things which will excite you, inshallah, to listen to the brother. May Allah reward him with goodness and make him among the leaders of this ummah. I love him for the sake of Allah. I've never met him. I've only seen him on YouTube. Anyways, Jameel. وَهَذَا لِسَانٌ عَرَبِيٌّ مُبِينٌ. So this is a clear Arabic tongue. وَكُلُّ هَذِهِ تَدُلُّ عَلَىٰ أَنَّ الْقُرْآنَ كَلَامُ اللَّهِ تَعَالَىٰ مُنَزَّلٌ مِّنْ عِنْدِهِ. All this clearly indicates that the Qur'an is the speech of Allah sent down from Him. That's what it is. وَالْمُؤَلِّفُ رَحِمَهُ اللَّهِ تَرَكَ الْآيَةَ الَّتِي بَعْدَهَا. The مُؤَلِّف, the author, Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah رَحِمَهُ اللَّهُ تَعَالَىٰ, he deliberately did not quote the ayah which followed that ayah. لأنه ليس فيها شاهد, because it is irrelevant, it doesn't support our cause. ولكنها مفيدة, however it is beneficial, فنذكرها, so we shall mention it to you. This is Sheikh ibn Uthaymeen رحمه الله. قال تعالى إن الذين لا يؤمنون بآيات الله لا يهديهم الله ولهم عذاب أليم. إنما يفتري الكذب الذين لا يؤمنون بآيات الله وأولئك هم الكاذبون. Verily, those who do not believe in the verses of Allah, Allah shall not guide them and they shall have a painful torment. Verily, the only people who will forge lies are those who do not believe in the ayat, in the verses of Allah, and it is those who are the liars. وَأُولَٰئِكَ هُمُ الْكَاذِبُونَ. كاذبون is different than yakdibun. Kadibun is a noun. Yakdibun is a fi'l. The noun in description is stronger than the verb. So this is like a permanent quality in them. Right? Because you may lie sometimes, we say yakdib. But if we say he's kadhab, meaning he's a, it's like a permanent quality in you. So all these again, you know, it's the same ideology. It's amazing. ومعنى هذه الآية أن الذين لا يؤمنون بآيات الله لا يهديهم الله ولا ينتفعون بآياته والعياذ بالله فالهداية مسدودة عليهم. And we learn from this ayah that those who do not believe in Allah's verses, Allah will not guide them. And they will not benefit from Allah's verses and signs. And we seek refuge with Allah. Guidance will be blocked for them. They will have no access to hidayah. Why? They don't want to believe in the ayat of Allah. When they refuse to believe in the ayat of Allah, consequently they will be misled. It's like a byproduct. You do this, you know, you knock on the door as they say, and you will hear an answer. They refuse to believe in Allah's verses, they were led astray, Allah will not guide them because of their initial disbelief. وَمَفْهُومُ الْمُخَالَفَةِ. Now مَفْهُومُ الْمُخَالَفَةِ is an understanding in the tafsir of the Qur'an. Which means, mafhum is from fahm, understanding. Mukhalafa is opposition, or contrast, or opposite. Which means that whenever something is established, whenever Allah proves something, the opposite of that is understood through the context without the need of it being mentioned. Once Allah affirms something, then the opposite is understood by context. By context, excuse me, without the need for Allah to mention it. Meaning, When Allah says, verily those who do not believe in the signs of Allah and the verses of Allah, Allah will not guide them. What is the opposite understanding? The opposite is what?
The person who is believing, he will be guided.
Barakallahu fiqh. Those who believe in Allah's ayat, Allah will guide them. Now there are verses which allude to that, right? But assuming that there was no such verse in the Quran, we will understand from this verse that that principle is correct. You see the connection here. This is called mafhum al-mukhalafa, the understanding of contrast, or the contrast understanding, which we deduce from Allah negating something or affirming something. When Allah affirms something, then the negative of that is understood. And when Allah negates something, then the affirmative of that is understood, unless we have evidences which say otherwise.
From implication.
Right. Jameel. مثال ذلك. An example, just so it would be clear. أننا نجد من لم يؤمن بالآيات لم يهتدي لبيان وجهها مثل قول بعضهم كيف ينزل الله إلى السماء الدنيا وهو في العلو. We find that those who did not believe in Allah's verses, they are not guided to understanding the objective of these verses or the context of the verses. Like the statement of some, how can Allah descend to the lowest heaven every last third of the night, that is, while He is in the state of highness and transcendency? How? What is their problem? The problem is that they did not believe in the ayat. They did not believe in Allah's ayat where He said, وَهُوَ الْعَلِيُّ الْعَظِيمُ وَهُوَ الْقَاهِرُ فَوْقَ عِبَادِهِ أَأَمِنْتُمْ مَنْ فِي السَّمَاءِ, until the end of the ayat. And they did not believe in the narration either. So they rejected the narration which clearly in Bukhari that the Prophet ﷺ said that يَنْزِلُ رَبُّنَا تَبَارَكَ وَتَعَالَى, our Lord, may He be, descends at the last third of every night to the lowest heaven, and He asks, is there anyone seeking forgiveness so I can forgive him, until the end of the hadith. Because they didn't believe, they were not guided to understand. فَنَقُولْ آمِنْ تَهْتَدِي. We say to him, believe, Allah will guide you. You believe, you submit to Allah, and you will receive the understanding from Allah. Allah will guide you to understand. But when you reject, it will always be confusing to you. It is not confusing to us, because we believe there's nothing like Allah. You, if you live on the sixth floor, you know what I'm saying, and you want to descend to the first floor, then yes, with you as a human being, that's impossible. Either you're on the sixth floor, or you're on the first floor. And you can't go to the first floor while you're on the sixth floor. Why? Because you're a hopeless, helpless human being. Dependent, you're not self-sufficient, and you're a creation. But if you want to understand Allah in the context of a human being, then you're already off the track. That's you, not Allah. What applies to human beings doesn't apply to the creator of human beings and the one who made these laws. Allah made these laws that you can't be upstairs and downstairs at the same time. Allah made this law for the human beings. You want to apply the law of Allah upon the humans, upon Him? Amazing wickedness. You see what I'm saying? So because they don't believe, they're not guided. But when you believe, I have to believe in the Quran and the Sunnah, I don't play games with that. Allah gives you understanding. So you feel, okay, yeah, makes sense to me, I don't have a problem. Yeah, you have a problem, not you, I'm sorry, the person. I don't have any problem. It's very logical to me. Wallahi it is. I'm sure you feel the same way. I'm not speaking about myself, I'm speaking, and anyone who believes in the verses of Allah, Allah will guide him to understand. It's not a complicated matter, it's not philosophy. It's either you believe or you don't believe. Now. فإذا آمنت بأنه ينزل حقيقة علمت أن هذا ليس بمستحيل. If you believe that Allah truly descends, then you know it's not impossible. لأنه في جانب الله عز وجل ولا يمثل شيء, because it's concerning Allah and there's nothing like unto Him. There's nothing like Allah سبحانه وتعالى. ونجد من يقول في قوله تعالى جدارا يريد أن ينقض فأقامه كيف يريد الجدار. And we find other saying concerning Allah's statement in Surah Al-Kahf that Khidr and Musa, or Al-Khidr and Musa, they found a wall which wanted to fall apart. And they say, how can the wall want? Does the wall really want something? Is there a will or an intent for the wall? فَنَقُولْ آمِنْ بِأَنَّ الْجِدَارِ يُرِيدِ يَتَبَيَّنْ لَكَ أَنَّ هَذَا لَيْسَ بِغَرِيبٍ. Believe that what Allah said is correct. Believe that the wall wanted something, He intended something, and this will no longer be odd or strange to you. وَهَذِهِ قَاعِدَةٌ يَنْبَغِي أَن تَكُونَ أَسَاسِيَةً عِنْدَكَ. وهي آمن تهتدي. This should be a principle that should be well established with you. What is that principle? Believe, you shall be guided. Okay? Believe and you shall be guided. That's what it is. If we're unable to believe, we will not be guided. If we believe, then we will be guided بإذن الله عز وجل. طيب. والذين لا يؤمنون بآيات الله لا يهديهم الله ويبقى القرآن عليهم عمى والعياذ بالله ولا يستطيعون الاهتداء به نسأل الله لنا ولكم الهداية. Those who do not believe in the verses of Allah, Allah shall not guide them, and the Quran will remain عمى. What is عمى? From what word? Blind. So they are blinded. They're blinded to see the guidance in the Quran. They're blinded from seeing the Quran. The Quran does not serve as a guide for them, even though Allah says in the Quran, ذلك الكتاب لا ريب فيه هدى. هدى لمن؟ للمتقين. They don't qualify as متقين. No هدى for them. Not anyone, as you know. This is a statement which Allah has blessed me to formulate. I hope it. You like it and you can use it in your da'wah expeditions. The Quran is guidance for everyone, but not everyone is qualified to be guided. The Quran is a book. Anyone who wants to be guided, this is a book. Not the Bible, not the Torah, not the Hindu scriptures, and none of that stuff. The only the Quran. But is everyone qualified to be guided? No. Worldly example. Oxford is the best university for you to graduate from. But not everyone is qualified to be admitted to Oxford. You don't have the credentials. You don't have the foundation. So as an institute, it's the best. Ultimately, if you join them, khalas, you know, and you really pass, you'll be a professor. But not everyone is qualified to enter. They have examinations. Some people are admitted and some people are sent away. You don't deserve to be in this school. It's high caliber school and you're not at that caliber. You see what I'm saying? So if a kafir acknowledges that about the dunya, then we say the same thing about the Quran. You know, it's a book of guidance, but hey, not everyone is qualified to be guided. Some people don't want any guidance. And those ones, excuse me, there's nothing you can do concerning them. Now, وَالْعِيَذُ بِاللَّهِ وَلَا يَسْتَطِعُونَ الْهِتِدَابِ. So they cannot be guided by the Quran. نَسْأَلُ اللَّهَ لَنَا وَلَكُمْ هِدَايَةً. We ask Allah to guide us and guide you. ما نستفيده من الناحية المسلكية من هذه الآيات. Excuse me. Practical benefits that we attain from these ayat. Excuse me. نستفيد أننا إذا علمنا أن هذا القرآن تكلم به رب العالمين أوجب لنا ذلك تعظيم هذا القرآن واحترامه وامتثال ما جاء فيه من الأوامر وترك ما فيه من المنهيات والمحذورات وتصديق ما جاء فيه من الأخبار عن الله تعالى وعن مخلوقاته السابقة واللاحقة. We benefit if we know and admit in our hearts that this Quran is actually the statement of Allah. It's a speech which Allah had uttered Himself. It's the statements of Allah, the Lord of the worlds. This necessitates that we magnify the Quran and we respect it. How? Many people today have developed homemade practices with which they claim that the Quran is being honored. Example, you find people, you know, with the Mus'haf, as soon as he picks it up, he puts his face in it, he kisses the Quran, kisses the front, kisses the back, you know, and then he puts it down. Is this from the Sunnah? Is this from the Sunnah? Did we even have a Mus'haf at the time of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam? This is not how we magnify the Quran. These same people, usually, not all of them, but these same people are the ones who the Quran is telling them this, and they're doing exactly the opposite. And the concept became among the Muslims that you don't put anything on top of the Quran, you don't put your feet towards the Quran, at home you put the Quran in a nice, you know, nice fancy silk cloth, and you put it on top of everything, on the highest part of the, you know, the shelves, in the house, which, you know, goes down only in Ramadan, and khalas. If the Quran, if somebody drops the Quran, they make a big deal and big fitna. Oh my God, and you know this and that. They jump in their places and they kiss it and they put it on their head. And this is what it is. Some of the Shia, you know, in their sessions, they put the Quran, they open the Quran, put it on their head. Crazy people, man. But you know, these are all what? Innovations. There's no sunnah, there's no hadith which says that you have. However, the Quran, it doesn't mean that you grab the Quran and you throw it and you put it in a place that is not befitting. Don't go to extremes. But it's a regular, it's a book. You open it, you read it. There's no kissing and hugging and anything of this nature. This is not, you know, your wife. You know, you don't do this. You know, you don't kiss things like tangible things that are not humans. Unless it's the black stone during your Hajj or Umrah, because Prophet ﷺ did that. But that's it. The Sahaba, the Salaf didn't do this. We don't have any references of anyone ever kissing the Quran. But today this is the case. If you put your feet, you know, towards the Qibla or towards the Quran, you know, you get a lecture from someone. But there's no evidence for that. There's no evidence. There's nothing that says you cannot put your feet towards the Qibla. Otherwise, you know, making the religion difficult upon people, even though Allah made it simple in this fashion, in this area. Okay? So when we speak about respecting the Quran, it is not in our homemade, you know, back home, you know, however they do it. Because these are not, respecting the Quran, meaning the Quran says this, you do it, it says leave that alone, you stop. As the Shaykh explained, which is fulfilling the obligations and the commandments in the Quran, and abandoning all the prohibitions that are in the Quran and the things that should be avoided, and believing all the news which were mentioned in the Quran concerning Allah Azza wa Jal and concerning His creation, the ones that preceded us and the ones that will come in the future. You know, like the Dabba that will come from the ground and will speak to the people towards the end of time. So with that, we conclude the discussion on the fact that the Quran huwa كلام الله منزل غير مخلوق منه بدأ وإليه يعود منه بدأ وإليه يعود القرآن كلام الله منزل غير مخلوق منه بدأ وإليه يعود. This is what we had been discussing. The Quran is the speech of Allah. It is sent down. It is uncreated. From Allah it came, and to Allah it shall return. Fine. Now we deal with a brand new chapter. Ithbatu ru'yatul mu'minina li rabbihim yawm al-qiyamah. Let's improve our Arabic skills. Ithbat means what? Proving. Tuthbit al-shay, to prove, to keep it firm, to make it fixed, right? Thabbat. ثَبِّتْنَا, right? It came in the Quran. وَثَبِّتْ أَقْدَامَنَا, keep our feet firm in when fighting against the enemies. رؤيا, what does it mean? Usually a vision, right? But this is when you're sleeping, a رؤيا is a vision. But in reality, رؤيا, while you're awake, from يرى. أَلَمْ يَعْلَمْ بِأَنَّ اللَّهَ يَرَى, in Surah Al-Alaq. Does he not know that Allah sees? So يرى, رؤيا, رياء, right, showing off, yani doing a deed for people to see you. All of these are derivatives of the same root word, right? So then affirming ru'ya, seeing al-mu'mineen, believers from iman, al-muttaqeen are the pious, ma fi mushkila, li rabbihim, rabbihim, their Lord, the ha in that Rabbi, him, Rabbi, my Lord, Rabbuka, your Lord, Rabbukum, your Lord, Rabbi, him, their Lord. Yawm al Qiyamah, no. Yawm al Hisab, maybe, you know, day of judgment. Yawm al Qiyamah, the day of resurrection. Qiyamah, meaning when people, yaqumun min al qubur, people are resurrected from their graves. Good. I hope that was in a beneficial Arabic class during the Aqidah class. الشرح ذكر المؤلف رحمه الله آيات إثبات رؤية الله تعالى. So then the author, Shaykh al-Sabi ibn Taymiyyah, may Allah shower him with his mercy. He went on to enumerate and cite the verses which deal with proving the fact that Allah Azza wa Jal will be seen. The first ayah, al-ayah al-ula qawluhu wujuhun yawma-idhin nadira ila rabbiha nadira. Unbelievable, unbelievable. Faces, some faces, that day shall be shining and radiant, illuminating. Ila rabbiha nadira, to their Lord looking. But in English we say looking at their Lord. But the Arabic came with that to show emphasis, right? Exclusivity. As we said, Iyyaka na'budu wa Iyyaka nasta'in. This is Surah Al-Qiyamah, verses 22 and 23. قَوْلُهُ وُجُوهٌ يَوْمَئِذٍ يَعْنِي بِذَلِكَ يَوْمِ الْآخِرِ. Faces, some faces that day, which day? The last day, the day of judgment. قَوْلُهُ نَاظِرَ أَيْ حَسَنَ مِنَ النَّضَارَ بِالضَّادِ. نَاظِرَ meaning good. From the word نَاظِرَ with the ضَاد, that is, which is الحسن, that which is good. يدل على ذلك قوله تعالى فوقاهم الله شر ذلك اليوم ولقاهم نظرة وسرورا. This is affirmed or understood through another ayah in the Quran. So Allah saved them from the evil of that day and He gave them light of beauty and joy. أي حسنا في وجوههم سرورا في قلوبهم, meaning beauty in their faces, bliss and content and happiness in their hearts. قوله إلى ربها ناظرة, ناظرة بالضاء من النظر, وهنا عدي بإلى الدل على الغاية. Looking at their Lord, ناظرة from نظر, and we have a number of words in the, that shows you how rich the Arabic language is. We have بصر, right? We have رأى, رؤيا, يرى. We have نظر, right? And what else? We have others actually. Other words, it come in various verses in the Quran. يَعْلَمُ خَائِنَةَ الْأَعْيُنُ وَمَا تُخْفِي الصُّدُورُ. Not this one. We have الطرف, يعني looking, the, you know, غض البصر, غض الطرف, again lowering the gaze, lowering, you know, the sight from looking at things which are forbidden, and other words. But the most common three are بصر, نظر, and رؤيا, يرى, you know, seeing in general. طيب. Now it was preceded with ila. Ila is what in English?
Negative.
Not illa, two, which is a preposition. In Arabic it's called harf jar. Harf jar in Arab, in English is a preposition like in, on, you know, over, above, ila akhri. Adala al ghaya. What that means, it means it reflects or it alludes to destination. Ila Rabbiha, meaning the destination on in which they're looking is directed to their Lord. That's the purpose of ila. Now that small preposition plays a major role in the understanding of the ayah. وَهُوَ نَظَرٌ صَادِرٌ مِنَ الْوُجُوهِ. And this is the kind of sight which is initiated from one's face. From one's face. والنظر الصادر من الوجوه يكون بالعين. And the sight which is initiated from the face comes from where? From your nose? From your eye. Unless you see with your nose, talk to me after the dars. بخلاف النظر الصادر من القلوب. This is unlike the seeing of what? The heart. You can see with your heart, you see the truth, right? فإنه يكون بالبصيرة والتدبر والتفكر. The latter, the seeing with the heart, is done through insight, through reflection, through contemplation, contemplating on things. This is how you see with your heart, not with your eyes. You may be blind. Can you be a believer and be blind? Of course. Why? How did you see the truth? With your eyes? With your heart? You heard it and you saw it with your eye, with your heart. You see what I'm saying? So it is not conditional to the sight. فَهُنَا صدر النظر من الوجوه صدر النظر من الوجوه إلى الرب عز وجل لقوله إلى ربه. So now the seeing, now this is important because you will find among the Mu'tazilites and the Ash'arites and their likes, those who what? They deny this. Not every Muslim you will meet believes that you will see Allah on the Day of Judgment. In fact, today the vast majority, the bulk of Muslims, believe that you will not see Allah on the Day of Judgment. You will not. And all of these ayat and verses, they emphatically deny. On the basis that, if you see Allah, then that means that Allah must be a physical being. And if you say that Allah is a physical being, He must be like the creation. And if you say Allah is the creation, then He is like a human being. So we cannot say that. So they deny it. Same disease and sickness and illness over and over again. In every chapter, you find that they have the same sickness. They try to avoid, you know, resembling or likening Allah to His creation because of their wicked understanding. They wind up denying the clear text of the Quran and the Sunnah. And we say, we don't do that. We believe. Right? Because the ayah and the narration say so. So now Allah, that's why the important. Now the sight is being initiated from where? From their faces. Not with their heart. Not they will see Allah with their heart and feel the greatness of Allah in Jannah. No. إِلَى رَبِّهَا نَاظِرًا. This is speaking of their faces. And you see with your nose or with your eyes? With your eyes. Meaning with their own eyes. Nazar, with their own eyes. They should be looking at Allah. فَتُفِيدُ الْآيَةَ الْكَرِيمَةَ أَنَّ هَذِهِ الْوُجُوهُ النَّاظِرَةَ حَسَنَةً تَنْظُرُ إِلَى رَبِّهَا عَزَّ وَجَلَّ فَتَزْدَادُ حُسْنًا إِلَى حُسْنِهَا. This ayah alludes to that these beautiful faces will look at their Lord and it will be increased in beauty over its beauty because of looking at Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَانْظُرْ كَيْفَ جَعْلَ هَذِهِ الْوُجُوهُ مُسْتَعِدَّةً مُتَهَيَّئَةً للنظر إلى وجه الله عز وجل لكونها نظرة حسنة متهيئة للنظر إلى وجه الله عز وجل. Look how Allah made these faces ready, prepared to look at Allah عز وجل, to look at Allah's face سبحانه وتعالى, because their faces are illuminating and in the state of beauty and goodness, so they will look at Allah. فَبِيَالِ الْآيَةِ دَلِيُوا عَنَّ اللَّهَ عَزَّ وَجَلْ يُرَى بِالْأَبْصَارِ. This ayah proves that Allah is seen via sight, as we believe. Is there anything like Allah? Do you have any images? If you have them, what do you do? Who remembers? What? Right click, delete. Then go to your deleted items in the trash bin and permanently delete. Don't leave anything on your hard disk, on your flash drive, anywhere. Any images of Allah, whatever you're thinking, wrong, wrong, wrong. And you are giving Allah attributes and descriptions which you can never really, you know, be right concerning. So leave that business alone, right? So when we see people who see Allah, we don't have any idea. We have no idea about the essence of that. But we believe. Because it's in the Quran and the Sunnah. But how is Allah? The reality of Allah Ta'ala alam bihalih. Even when we say they will see Allah's face, and we have no idea what this face, no idea what this face is like. The mirror has a face. The mirror has a face. And the human being has a face. And the whale has a face. And the ant has a face. And a store has a face. And the word face is common. But what is the reality? What is the commonality between these faces? Nothing. Except the name. If there's such a huge distinction among the creation, then what do you imagine the distinction would be between the creating, a creation and the creator? Subhanallah. That's what we need to understand. Jameel. وَهَذَا هُوَ قَوْلُ أَهْلُ السُّنَّةِ وَالْجَمَاعَةِ. This is the statement of أَهْلُ السُّنَّةِ وَالْجَمَاعَةِ. اللَّهُمَّ اجْعَلْنَا مِنْهُمْ يَا رَبَّ الْعَالَمِينَ. واستدلوا لذلك بالآيات التي ساقها المؤلف رحمه الله, واستدلوا أيضا بالأحاديث المتواترة عن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم التي نقل عنها صحابة كثيرون. And أهل السنة والجماعة, they use this evidence, the ayat which the مؤلف will quote and cite, and other narrations, متواترة meaning there are so many, narrated by so many people, so many narrations by so many people, that it's impossible that there could be any fabrications or weakness. And it has been conveyed to us through, by means of many sahaba, sahabatun kathirun, a lot of them. وَنَقَلَ عَنْ هَؤُلَاءِ الصَّحَابَةَ تَابِعُونَ كَثِيرٌ. And from them, it was conveyed to us by many followers of the sahaba, the tabi'un, the generation which followed. ونقلها عن التابعين من تابعي التابعين كثيرون. And then those were more and more and more until today. They continue to be narrated. Some of these men have a connection, a chain of connection going all the way back to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Men who are living today amongst us. Not only in the book. He learned it from a sheikh. His sheikh learned it from a sheikh. His sheikh learned it from a sheikh. From a sheikh, from a sheikh, going all the way back to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. They exist today. People who have a sanad, ittisal, ila Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Among the Huffaz and those people. Some of them in the Quran and the Qira'at of the Quran. Some of them in this and some of them in other things. You see what I'm saying? So this is amazing, يعني, the issue. Cannot be denied. وهكذا. والنصوص فيها قطعية الثبوت والدلالة لأنها في كتاب الله تعالى وفي سنة رسوله صلى الله عليه وسلم متواترة. The textual evidences the textual evidences are undeniable. قطعية meaning there's absolutely no dispute concerning it in terms of it is in terms of its indications and what it's trying to allude to. Because it is in the book of Allah and it is in the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam mutawatira, the one that has been narrated to us by an abundance of people via abundance of narrations and, you know, chains of narrations and texts as well. And then, you know, he went on to mention something else which I think will be practically dealt with inshallah ta'ala next week if we all remain alive بإذن الله عز وجل. We will continue with the discussion on the believer seeing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So with this we conclude our dars for this evening. وآخر دعوانا أن الحمد لله رب العالمين وصلى الله وسلم على نبينا محمد. سبحانك اللهم بحمدك أشهد أن لا إله إلا أنت أستغفرك وأتوب إليك.